This Sounds of Wrecking tape is drawn from 5 sources. One source is my own sounds, so that you can hear what a Wrecking sound should be like. And then it is drawn from the sounds of 4 patients who could send it to have their session recorded and published, though the names have been changed. Further, in recording my own sounds, I recorded them twice. Once with the microphone at about the same level from my face as was the case when I recorded the patient sessions, and once with the microphone very close so that you could hear even the slightest sound on the inhale or the exhale that I made. During the course of the tape, I will be cutting back and forth between my sounds and those of the patients. Further, in the patient sounds, I'll be presenting a number of different kinds of errors so that you can hear the variations. I recommend that you download and install a free sound program called Audacity, Audacity. Use a search engine to get to the website. This program is available for Microsoft Windows, for Apple, and for various forms of the Unix operating system. This program allows you to drag and drop with the mouse and thus repeat small or large sections again and again. It allows you to amplify or reduce sounds in a given area, and it allows you to see the wave shape so that you can see articulation and non-articulated sounds. When I play a patient sound, I'll often be repeating it 3 times so that you can more adequately hear it. But a note of caution: the fact that these sounds are noted as errors on this tape is not to be taken as criticism or condemnation of the patient. Each of these people is doing the best he or she can do at the present time, and one cannot expect them to be finished with the therapy when they're still in the therapy. I'll start by examples of articulated patient ah sounds. To recall for you, an articulated sound means that the throat is closed and opened again in order to create the sound.
Ah. Ah. Ah.
Ah. Ah.
Ah. Ah. Ah.
That's 3 examples of an articulated ah sound. Now I'll play some from my tape to give you an example of what a non-articulated ah sound is like. That was not one breath repeated 4 times. It was 4 successive breaths on my part, breathing at the rate of 18 breaths per minute. Now, some more examples of articulated ah sounds before turning to numerous types of errors that people will make other than articulation, even when they do make an ah sound. This time I won't repeat the same sound 3 times. Each of these sounds will be from a different part of the tape and or from a different patient.
Ah. Ah. Ah.
Ah.
Ah.
Reich described the exhale sound as the sound of a sigh. To make that very clear, I'm going to sitting here at my computer recording this Sounds of Reichian tape. I'm going to do it both ways, twice. First with the sigh, ah, and then with an articulated ah. 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 That may sound to you as though the difference is simply one of intensity, that the non-articulated sound is soft and the articulated sound is loud. That is not the difference. If you are using the Audacity program and look at the actual wave shape, you'll see that the articulated sound has a very abrupt beginning, which is not the case with the non-articulated sound. Now I'll turn to some other variations that the patients made of the ah sound. First, where they doubled the ah sound, so that slowly it went ah, ah, even though you'll hear it goes ah.
Ah. Ah. Ah.
Ah. Ah.
Perhaps I'm giving the impression that every sound the patient makes is wrong. That's not the case. Here are some examples of near perfect sounds that these people made during their session.
Ah. Ah.
We are not through with the ah sound, and actually I'll come back to it later toward the end of the tape. But before I turn to some other issues, and there are a lot more to return to, I want to give you two examples of a doubled sound, but not where it is ah, ah, but where it is ah, ah. In other words, the second syllable in the same sound is a UH instead of an AH. Instead of a doubled AH, A-H, it is an A-H-U-H. One more issue with the ah sound, and then I'll turn to some of the other wrong sounds that these patients made during their session. This issue is the issue of the guttural sound. Guttural is a throat sound that is made during the exhale, but improperly so. So here are examples of gutturals.
Ah. Ah.
I provided examples of articulated sound, of doubled ah sound, of an ah sound and of gutturals, but it doesn't need to be a single error. Here's an example of a doubled ah sound plus a guttural. I'll repeat the sound three times to give you a chance to be able to pick out the doubled sound and the guttural. I'll provide some other examples of gutturals shortly, but here I want to give you just one more to say that a guttural doesn't need to be combined with just a loud sound. You can have a nice soft sound but still have that throat guttural sound. Now, in quick succession, a series of gutturals. Some of these are gutturals following an ah sound. Some of them are actually an AGH, immediately a guttural. Others of them are a guttural after an ah sound, a UH sound. One of them is after an HUH or a huh sound. There are still two issues of the ah sound with which I have not yet dealt. I'll return to those at the end of the tape. For the present, let's turn to some sounds that are made other than the AH sound. I'll start with the HA instead of the AH. So the person is saying ha instead of ah.
Ha. Ah.
Now a UH sound. Now, in quick succession, some of the other sounds that were made during these sessions. First, an H-U-H, huh?
Huh. Huh. Ah.
Here are two examples of A-G-H, Og. Now, just to say that those deviations from ah are not the only ones that one can make. Here are some unusual ones. The first one is an H-U-G-H. Here's a U-R, which I'll play three times so that you can pick it up, because it's very abrupt. And just to end this section of the audio with a very inventive sound, here's an H-U-H with an A-R-H following it. Now, let's deal with the issue of the yawn. If you've read the book before listening to this audio, you know that a yawn takes precedence over any exercise and any activity. Further, the yawn should be extremely loud and only on the exhale. First, I'll illustrate the yawn from my sound tape. Now from the patient tapes, first some examples of very acceptable good yawns from the patients. And now some examples of inadequate yawns. The first example is of a yawn that was stifled. Now some examples of where the patient yawns not only on the exhale, as he should, but as well on the inhale. The next example of a yawn was during the performance of the shrug your shoulders exercise. And instead of stopping the exercise for yawn, this patient actually yawned during the inhale and then continued the exercise on the exhale. I included the full execution of the exercise there just to provide context. Now, how can a person yawn on an inhale? Well, of course, one can't. Actually, this is a defensive use of a yawn. I mentioned in the book that in a Reichian approach, a body approach to psychotherapy, in addition to the mental mechanisms that are used as defenses, the body is also used as a defense system. Here, this patient has developed an extremely clever, if not even unique, defense against the therapy. Namely, he uses yawning as a defense against the therapy. And we'll hear some examples of that next. Why do I say that his yawning is defensive rather than actually an example of the working of the therapy? Well, I discussed in the book that in Reichian therapy, the meaning of yawning is a physiological relaxation. This person yawns 19 times in one 60-minute session. You can't relax 19 different times in one 60-minute session. So his yawning serves a defensive purpose. Now consider the next two examples. I'll give you the first example then tell you what it is, and then give you the second example. That was a yawn, two breaths, and another yawn. Now, here's a yawn, four breaths, and another yawn. Finally, near the end of his session, he first stifles a yawn and then makes a big production out of a yawn, which is completely artificial. I'm not sure you can hear it, but I hope so. We can now turn to the other sounds of Reichian therapy mentioned in the book. Because these were actual patient sessions, only two of the other sounds were made by any of the four patients. For the rest, I have to rely on my own sounds to illustrate the sounds of Reichian. First, the moan. Next, the groan. Next, the growl, first from my tape and then from a patient tape. Now the shout, first from my tape and then from the patient tape. In both cases, you'll be able to hear the ringing of the metal that's mentioned in the book. In my case, I have a number of elements of metal in the Reichian room, and thus I can't say which one was ringing. In the case of the patient, there was only one element of metal in the room, and that was an overhead fan. Turn now to the exercises. With only two exceptions, none of these exercises were done by the patients during their sessions. Therefore, I'll start by simply presenting one after another of the proper sounds from my tape without interrupting that for the patient sounds. After I'm through presenting all of the correct sounds, then I'll present the patient sounds. I'll start first with the sounds, or lack of sounds, which are made during the various breathing techniques. The first one is gasp, inhale, belly. Now gasp, inhale, chest. Now gasp, exhale, belly. Next, gasp, exhale, chest. Next, cry breathing. It's mentioned in the book that in cry breathing, the inhale is broken up into a series of short inhales, while the exhale is a normal exhale. Next, seesaw breathing, where it is a rapid inhale to the chest, exhale to the belly. Next, the push the air out exercise. I emphasized in the book that this exercise is the best one for getting the high held chest down. I further emphasized that you must, absolutely must, on this exercise, roll the pelvis at the beginning of the exhale and keep it out for the whole exhale. Obviously, on a sound tape, you can't see me roll the pelvis, but you can hear me squeeze the air out. Oh. finally the cough sound, and then I'll turn to the sounds that are produced during actual exercises other than just the breathing exercises. We'll start with an easy one. Arms up and vocalize. First, reaching for someone, then pushing someone away.
Please. Please. Why? 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 Why?
Now, with the hands pushing away.
No. No, I won't. Go away. No. No, 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 no.
Now the rest of the exercises, starting with the head and working downward. First, the sounds with the tongue in the various directions. That would be lick the chin, lick the ceiling, lick the nose, and tongue in directions. In this exercise, note that my exhale sound doesn't change from the normal ah sound. Then, growl with the towel in the mouth. Then, blow through the lips on the exhale. Then, the muscliny jaw. Recall that the muscliny jaw is done one time. Then you pause for perhaps half a dozen breaths, and then you can do it again. Next, shake the shoulders loose, followed by shrug up and throw down. The sound should not change markedly, it will change a little, from the normal ah sound. Toss the pelvis, slam the pelvis on the stomach, the slam kick, and the tennis racket. In the four exercises of toss the pelvis, slam the pelvis stomach, slam kick, and tennis racket, you'll not get the ringing of the metal because you're attempting there to put some anger into the shout. Now the normal ah sound with the tongue out. That was lick the chin, now tongue straight up. Now lick the nose. Okay, now sound with tongue in directions. Then the growl with the towel in the mouth. Blow through lips. Muscle in your jaw. Oh. And again. Now, shake the shoulders loose. Rapid inhale on one thrust of the arm and then a series of thrusts during the exhale. Now, shrug the shoulders, recalling that that's a single rapid inhale with the shrug, and then a series of throw downs and shrug ups on the exhale with the soft ah sound inserted. Toss the pelvis. Slam the pelvis stomach. Slam kick with shout. Here is Peter doing the shrug the shoulders exercise. You'll note all the following errors in his execution. 1. He drags out the sound so it's almost continuous unless he runs out of breath. 2. He's considerably changed the sound from the normal ah sound to a very punctuated sound. 3. He usually is saying H-A ha rather than A-H-A. And 4. Occasionally, he says A-G-H, adding a guttural. Note that he is getting considerably better on the exercise performance as he goes along. He's now tending to properly have an initial ah sound, followed by normal exhale, followed by another ah sound, whereas before he was making one continuous ah sound and simply emphasizing it periodically. Now here's Steve doing this shake the shoulders loose exercise. During this exercise, he makes one or more frequently of the following errors. One, sometimes the sound is continuous rather than being broken up into discrete ah sounds. Sometimes he says H-U-H, huh? Other times he says U-H, huh? He does one very slow inhale where it's supposed to be almost a gasp inhale. He has some guttural sounds in there. At one point he yawns but does not stop the exercise for the yawn. And finally, toward the end, the sound seems to be in three successive sounds, first ah, ah, then ah, uh, and then ha, h-u-h.
Arms up, shake shoulders loose.
That leaves only two more exercises. First, the Krogh Holten Flick exercise, both single and double, and then the gag. And then I'll return to a discussion to end the tape of certain issues of the ah sound, which I have left to the end because they are more advanced issues.
Krogh Holten Flick. And the double Krogh Holten Flick.
Now the gag. As shown in the picture in the book, here you are sitting up with a bowl in your lap and a box of Kleenex.
Oh.
spit into? That was 2 gags on that exhale. Again, that was 2 gags on that exhale. Remember, in the gag, the idea is don't close the throat. I'll illustrate the sound of closing the throat. That's the kind of thing I mean by closing the throat on the gag. That leaves us with just 2 issues relative to normal breathing. In one sense, I've left this to the end of the tape because they're more advanced than everything else. In another sense, they're more fundamental than everything else. So, the end of the tape was a good place to put them. The 2 issues are the throat sound, both on the inhale and the exhale, and the speed of breathing. I'll start by giving you illustrations of the throat sound from all 4 of the patients, and then illustrate that that throat sound is not necessary. In some of the patients, there is both an inhale and an exhale throat sound. On others, there is only an inhale sound. On others, only an exhale sound. Ideally, one learns to keep the throat open, which is to say, to recognize that the throat is simply an open pipe. The trachea is simply from the mouth to the lungs, and there's no reason for it to be tense or for there to be a sound coming from it during the inhale or the exhale. This is more advanced in that it is very difficult for people to accomplish this absence of a throat sound. On the other hand, it's more fundamental because you can't do the gasp inhale chest or the gasp inhale belly until you've learned to open the throat and not have a breath sound. We'll start with Carl. He has both an inhale throat sound and an exhale throat sound.
Ah.
Here I have taken one of Carl's breaths and amplified both the inhale throat sound and the exhale throat sound.
Ah.
That inhale breath sound was 5.9 seconds long, and the exhale breath sound was 3.26 seconds long. I'll return to that issue shortly. Now, 5 breaths from Peter. Notice that he tends to say H-A rather than A-H. His first sound is an H-A, his second sound is an A-H, ah, correct, and his next 3 are H-A. Peter does not have an inhale breath sound. He does have an exhale throat sound, which averages about 0.8 seconds.
Ah. 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 Ah.
Ah. Next, Roberta. She does not have an inhale throat sound, but does have an exhale throat sound, which varies greatly from 0.5 seconds to almost 1 second.
Ah. 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 Ah.
And finally, Steve, who, like Carl, has both an inhale throat sound and an exhale throat sound. However, there's another issue with Steve that I'd like you to hear, and that is that he shows most clearly the biphasic breathing that is discussed in the book. If you listen closely to Steve's breathing, you'll hear an inhale breath sound, then a slight pause or time lapse before the exhale sound, and then the exhale breath sound. So it's inhale, pause, sound, exhale, pause. Inhale, pause, exhale, breath sound, pause.
Ah. Ah. Ah.
To make that issue clearer, I'm going to take the last of Steve's breaths that you just heard and amplify the complete breath, both the inhale and the exhale. That pause between the end of the inhale and the beginning of the exhale sound is approximately 0.4 seconds. Let me urge you in the strongest possible terms to not treat that as a demand characteristic, such that you force your throat to be open rather than allow it to be open. You might recall from reading Reich that the start of his whole process, the genesis of his work, lay in his recognition that in free association, people will free associate in context of their character, such that unless the character is attacked, then all the free associations are actually just rehearsing the character structure. So too, if you treat this idea of no breath sound as a demand characteristic, as something you impose upon yourself rather than allow yourself, you will be doing so in context of your character, and you will thereby absolutely and positively defeat the whole nature of the therapy. You will get virtually nothing from any of your work. The whole trick, the whole secret of Reichian therapy is not a causing, but an allowing. I'll illustrate the absence of the throat sound with my breathing. First, with the microphone at the normal distance, and then with the microphone very close, so that you can hear that there is a air sound as the air moves in and out, but there is not a throat sound as such. To better illustrate this issue, I've taken apart from my tape where I perform the exercise of no sound. That is, the sound is dropped entirely. What you're going to hear is 6 breaths with no sound taken in 19.5 seconds.
No sound I'm breathing. That was 6 breaths during that time.
Now, with the microphone very close to my face.
Oh. Oh.
Before turning to the final issue, which is the speed of breathing, I'll take this opportunity to also point out the duration of the ah sound by comparing the duration of my sound the duration of the four patient sounds which are on this tape. The six sounds you just listened to averaged 0.18 seconds. It's a little difficult to measure Steve's ah sound duration since his exhale breath sound is often as loud as his actual ah sound. But best I could get a figure for it, he averages about 0.6 seconds. Roberta is about 0.8 seconds. Peter about 0.55. And Carl about 0.55. So repeating, my short sound, my normal ah sound, is about 0.18 seconds. Steve is about 0.6. Roberta about 0.8. Peter about 0.55. And Carl about 0.55. As before, let me warn you against treating that as some kind of demand characteristic, some standard that you have to meet. When you get the soft, normal ah sound, it will be short. It can't be other than that. To repeat what I mentioned in the book, it is not so much that you make the sound as that the sound is inserted at the beginning of the exhale. That brings me to the final issue, which is the speed of breathing. Recalling for you what the book so strongly emphasizes, the basis of Reichen therapy is the hyperventilation. It is the physiology and the biochemistry of hyperventilation which causes the muscle spasms, the tingling or paresthesia, and the tendency to emotionality. The deep belly chest breathing tends to bring on a state of hyperventilation. However, if the person breathes slowly enough or is very shallow in the breathing, then there won't be any hyperventilation. Patient Carl breathes particularly slowly. Here is a 1 minute sample during which time he takes six breaths.
Ah. Ah.
Here's an example from patient Steve, breathing at the rate of 9 breaths per minute.
Ah.
Steve's rate, however, is really quite variable, from a low of about 9 breaths per minute to a high of about 12, maybe even 13 breaths per minute. But Steve has other techniques for controlling the effects of the therapy. He closes his mouth, he yawns frequently, he swallows frequently, he breathes only with the belly and not with the chest, and he moves his tongue. All of these are body defensive mechanisms. However, there is still one more that I'm going to play for you now.
Ah. Ah.
What you just heard there was a 10-second pause between two breaths. Here is an interesting sequence from patient Roberta. I'm going to play you 1 minute of her breathing, during which time she takes 10.5 breaths. However, the interesting thing is the variability. Between breaths 1 and 2, she's breathing at the rate of 7 breaths per minute. Between 2 and 3, at the rate of 11 per minute. Between 3 and 4, at the rate of 14 per minute. Between 4 and 5, at the rate of 12 per minute. Between 5 and 6, at the rate of 6 per minute. Then there's a yawn. And between breaths 7 and 8, at 14 per minute. Between 8 and 9, at 8 per minute. And between 9 and 10, at 9 per minute.
Ah. 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 Ah.
Finally, two examples from Peter. The first one at a rate of approximately 14 breaths per minute. Really quite good.
Ah. 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 Ah.
And finally, at a rate very slightly in excess of 12 breaths per minute.
Ah. 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 Ah.
You've heard examples now of correct and incorrect Reichian sounds for most all of the Reichian work. However, I can't close this tape without noting for you again to please respect your own body and your own psychological system. Do not rush. Do not treat the sounds you've heard here as some kind of standard wherein you are failing if you don't meet it. You are going to go at your own individual pace, and if the hyperventilation is too anxiety-provoking for you, pull back from it. Don't force it. It will come over time. Give yourself that time. Let yourself operate as you need to operate, keeping in mind that over time you'll improve and you will get closer to the sounds you've heard on this audio. Best of luck to you. Don't rush. Welcome to the therapy.